Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 189. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Today I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Adam Boyd. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, Don. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Adam, are you using your talents doing work that you love?
I sure am.
All righty. We want to hear the whole story. Adam Boyd is a partner at MarketSense in Austin, Texas, sales and management and development expert who works with owners, CEOs, presidents, VPs of sales and salespeople to overachieve in their sales production. Typical clients are frustrated with not hitting their forecast, deals taking too long to close, and insufficient sales pipeline. And Adam works with them on all those issues. So, Adam, that's a summary of your career to date. Tell us what you're working on right now.
Thanks for that, Don. I have a few projects right now that are more interesting than some others. Typically, I personally am working with 20 to 40 companies at any given time. Work with a handful of individuals who are high performers in their field. And that's incredibly rewarding. Mm-hmm. To see those people begin to work more efficiently, effectively, to close more business, and a lot of times just to feel better about themselves and the work they do. But there are a couple of projects that are particularly interesting right now. I'm working in a call center with about 9 sales managers, and we've been working with them on some emotional intelligence that would enable them to drive better performance with their people. I see these people monthly. And every month they have these success stories about a breakthrough with a rep they couldn't reach. That's a lot of fun. I'm working with a very talented VP of sales in the software industry and getting to partner with him on helping him build, equip, train, develop his sales organization. Mm-hmm. And they're really going to do some industry-shaking work, already scaling up quickly. And then with a small business here locally, I'm working with the owner to help him revise his compensation structure for his managers. These aren't even sales managers. These are just managers who help him run the company. And we've seen that their management has really hurt the performance of the company, mm-hmm. not because of negligence, not because they don't care. It's just the way the compensation's been structured mm-hmm. that has created some bad habits and led them to lose a lot of money.
Ah.
Yeah. And finally, my partner, Carl Scheibel, and I, he's the president of MarketSense. We're releasing a book, Succeed the Sandler Way. It's 14 stories of personal and professional breakthroughs of people we've worked with over the last 5 to 8 years. And Carl's story's in there as mine on what we went through to succeed and overachieve in sales and business.
That's very exciting. Congratulations on that. Good. And student of emotional intelligence. How long have you guys been working with emotional intelligence, working with your clients? I think that's a real innovation.
Well, the work we do in sales and management development is built on a school of psychology called transactional analysis. Mm-hmm. And we realized in looking at sales over the years that what really wasn't about tactics or strategies, as those are important, it's really understanding buyer psychology mm-hmm. and understanding our own psychology. And when you start to look at salespeople and managing them, it's very different than managing any other function in a business. You've got people who every day are going out there, they're competing with other people. They've got customers who will mislead them. They have the pressure of closing business to make money. And so there's a lot of stress on these people. Very often they're what we would call not okay. They're very And so it takes a different type of management to effectively lead those people. And I had the good pleasure to work with an industrial psychologist a few years ago, a guy named Jim Kestenbaum out of Rochester, New York. And he really took me even deeper into emotional intelligence and did a lot of work with me one-on-one to help me understand it, utilize it in my own life and my own business, and in turn to help my clients.
Excellent. Well, as you know, everyone's life is composed of a series of turning points, some call them passages, where we face situations and choices and changes and make decisions from early on, from the time we come into the world. We make those changes and decisions that impact the next handful of years of our lives. So it's like our story is a novel. So take us back in your novel, in your backstory, as far back as you want to go, and tell us about how Adam Boyd got here.
It's a great question, and it's one I've been thinking about as we've gotten ready for this conversation today. When I finished college, I decided I wanted to teach and coach because, like many people, I had a very memorable coach in high school. In fact, he and I still talk regularly, and it's been 18 years since he actually coached me.
What was the sport?
Football. Okay. I was a defensive back, and he was my position coach. I named my first son after him, and he had a huge impact on me. And so coming out of school, I thought, well, I really want to coach. I moved to Texas to coach football because if you're going to coach high school football, this is the place to be.
Yes.
And I wanted to make the impact on others' lives that he'd made on me. After a year of coaching down here, the place where I was, I felt like this is more about the program than it may be about the kids. So I worked with some great coaches. And some things happened, and I just decided I need to try something else. I need to make a change. I had coached for a year. I had more fun teaching than I had coaching. And I decided I need to explore some other avenues. And I walked away from it. I had a little bit of money in savings, and I really spent a year studying leadership. I spent a year meeting with people. That really sent my life on a different trajectory.
What did you major in college?
I was an English major.
Oh, good.
Which, while fun and enjoyable, I would encourage young men and women to study accounting or engineering now so they have some skills to make some money.
Okay.
But I loved it. I'm a big Faulkner buff.
Oh, me too.
Are you really?
Oh, I am. As I Lie Dying is one of my favorites.
Oh, he's so gifted. But
he is.
So long story short, I made a decision at a certain point in my life. I was writing. I was bartending at night. I decided, you know, I never want my work to dictate where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I want to build my life around wherever I want to be and the relationships I have in my life. And I want to find work that I enjoy doing. So I found a business school in Austin, Texas. I wanted to move back to Austin because I was living on the East Coast at the time, and my heart had just been here in Texas. Found a business school called the Acton School of Entrepreneurship, the Acton MBA, A-C-T-O-N. And they made three promises. They said, you'll learn how to learn, you'll learn how to make money, and you'll learn how to live a life of meaning. And all three of those appealed to me, and they really called to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't apply anywhere else. I made the decision. I said, I'm either going to get into Acton or I'm going to find an entrepreneur under whom I can study and learn. So I went to Acton, and that was a big shift for me because I was going into the world of business. I had been in education. I'd been doing some writing. I didn't have any business knowledge at all. I did okay on the GMAT, but I was sweating bullets getting through it. So I went to Acton, and while I was there, we worked 100-hour weeks for 9 months, and it was a grind, and it was really amazing. But I decided what I needed to do was learn a skill or a function. I needed to get really good at something. I looked at my classmates. Most of them were going to head into finance. They were going to head into operations or product management. Some were going to go into marketing. Some had some businesses they want to start, and I had no clue. I just knew I needed to be able to make money. I noticed that none of them were interested in the field of sales. And I said, I'll go learn sales. I'd met Carl Scheibel. He had come and spoken at Acton. And I went to him and said, I'll empty your trash if I can learn from you. I just want to know what you know. That was a big start for me. And I started working with Carl. He didn't make me empty the trash. He paid me some money, but not as much as you typically make as an MBA. That was really the start for me, and that was almost 8 years ago.
Oh.
But here was a big moment for me. I really struggled the first few years. I had never sold before except one project in business school where I sold cookbooks door to door. So I didn't have this background in sales. I was selling business owners, CEOs. I remember Carl even said to me one of my first days in the office, he said, you're not allowed to call on anyone but a president or CEO. So we're calling on them, we're working with them, we're selling them services, but I'm really struggling. I'm getting a little bit of business here and there. And it was really tough for me. But I remember I'd gotten married, My wife told me she was pregnant. We've been married 3 or 4 months. She tells me she's pregnant. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a game changer. Mm-hmm. But as a man, you know, the baby's not in my body. So it doesn't really hit me until we get the sonogram. I had these vision boards above my desk that sort of motivated me. But when I saw that sonogram, I realized here's the only thing I need to look at to motivate me. So I took down all the other vision boards and I put above my phone the picture of my unborn son, sonogram. And I remember specifically, I was on a call with a prospect. I'd been introduced to him. He told me that he'd lost 70% of his sales in the prior year. Most people, even people who aren't in my business, realize that's a problem. There's an issue when someone loses 70% of their revenue in a year. We spoke for a few minutes. We'd been introduced by a mutual friend. I said, do you want to see if I can help? I wasn't asking him for money. I wasn't asking him to commit yet. I just said, do you want to sit down to see if I can help? And he said, I don't think so. That didn't make sense to me, but normally I would have wimped out. But I remembered, you know, my kid's depending on me. Mm-hmm. And I need to be able to close the tougher business if I'm going to be able to move forward in my career, provide for my family. Mm-hmm. That moment, I just stepped back and I said, you know, I don't understand. You've lost a majority of your business, but you don't want to see if someone like me who specializes in this can help you. And it was a real turning point for that guy and for me. For me, I realized I needed to double down. Mm-hmm. I needed to really apply myself, work hard, and push through the discomfort I felt in a lot of my work. That was a big moment. While I was doing all of this.
Wait.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, this is pretty funny because I ask this a lot when I do training. And I will ask people, I said, what do you think he said? And they'll say, well, I don't really think you can help. He just said, yeah, let's get together. It was as if I just had to call out.
Yes.
Some of the goofiness, the silliness of his response. Mm-hmm. So the last big turning point has actually happened in the last few weeks. In addition to working with businesses and individuals on sales and helping them develop those capabilities, I decided coming out of business school, I wanted to do some of the things I really loved. And I got back into coaching. I found a program that aligned with my values where I got to work with young men and I got to coach with men I really enjoyed being with. For the last 8 years, I took one fall off to get married because my wife wanted to get married in the fall. So she got one fall and I tell her all our anniversaries are going to be around football. I just need you to know that. But she's okay with it. She loves the game. But I called the defense and I worked with some coaches and it was 40 hours or more a week for about 3 to 4 months a year. And I've done that for the last 8 years.
Where in the storyline between early career and then going back to Acton and then and working right. with Carl, where in the storyline did the reintroducing football come in?
Great question. So as soon as I graduated from business school, I began working with Carl and coaching football.
Okay.
And football had always been on my heart. It had always been a passion, but I just didn't see a way to get back into it. And I found a way to do it. And I loved it. It was a lot of fun. We would take trips in the off season to go meet with coaches everywhere. We'd go to conferences, but it was 40 hours a week. It took time for my business. A lot of it took time for my family. And earlier this year, I noticed I was becoming more stressed and I was becoming more frustrated because of the time it was taking for my little boy. He's 4 now. Mm-hmm. And the time it was taking for my little girl, she's 2. And even my wife, and my mind was always on it because I'm probably a little OCD when it comes to competing in some capacity like that. Mm-hmm. We got to the second round of the playoffs. We had a successful season, all things considered, given where we were. And I went to him. I said, hey, I love you. This has been great. I just can't do this anymore. I really need to focus on my family and I really need to focus on my business as well because business is doing great. But if we're going to continue to grow, it needs more of my attention. But more than that, it was my family that needed my attention. Mm-hmm. And my wife would never ask me to stop. I just realized I get one shot to be a father. Mm-hmm. And one shot to be with them when they're 4 and 2 and when they're 5 and 3. Mm-hmm. I can always go back to coaching, but I really want to enjoy this season with my children. So that was the most recent turning point, and we'll see how that plays out over the next few years.
Good for you, though. That seems like exactly the right decision to make.
Yeah, it was tough, but
I hear you.
but it was worth it. So.
Well, this is great. Thank you for sharing your story up to now. What do you make of the statistics that you've read over that we sent about the majority of people around the world and even in this country not using their talents, not being in sync with who they are and what they want to get to, not having a vision or a clearer vision for their life? Why is it so difficult, this life planning thing? That's an easy question, right?
Right. Well, I think one challenge, and I'm not a philosopher, but I think one challenge is the abundance of options people have. Mm-hmm. And I think it paralyzes a lot of people. They can't sort through and do the hard work of – they can, they just choose not to or don't know how to do the hard work of asking themselves, what do I really want? A lot of young people call on me and they want to meet and they want to talk about what they should do with their life. A young man, he's probably 28, 29, called on me a few times and he wanted to talk about what he should do. And he was really trying to choose between two jobs. I asked him, I said, well, what do you want in 10 years? Let's not talk about what you want next year. Let's talk about what you want in 10 years so that you can make a decision and work back toward what you need to do now. Mm-hmm. What I find is a lot of people just haven't done that work. Maybe they don't know how to, maybe they don't know that they should, but it's really hard to think through, what do I want my epitaph to be?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want said at my funeral? How do I want to live my life? Where do I want my time to go? When we work with individuals and companies, one of the things we have them do is some very clear goal setting, but it's not just the business. I want to know, what are your goals for your spiritual life, for your family, for your hobbies, for your health, for your finances? And where do you want to work your way down to? Where do you want to go? I believe it's the most important work we do. Viktor Frankl, I think he was quoting Nietzsche, and he said, we can endure any what as long as we have a strong enough why.
Yes.
And I may be butchering that a little bit. I think most of us don't get clear on our why.
That's right.
We're in a day and age where there's so much distraction. There's so much noise that we can't sort through it to just be still, to be quiet.
I couldn't agree with you more on this. I think you're right on, right in the center of the issue. You're right. We have so many options. It's so complicated. How do people slow down and get quiet in a world that doesn't want you to?
Well, as soon as you find that answer, you let me know. But, it sounds like I read a lot more than I really do, but I had the privilege of reading a book called The Shallows. I think it was written by Nicholas Carr. He studied the way the wired life, the being plugged in to the internet, how it's really impacting the quality of our thought. And I'm afraid we're really going to see that play out as in the political arena, because we have to have deep, thoughtful. We really need to think deeply to contemplate about policy and about where we're going as a people and as a nation. And his thesis is that we're thinking less deeply because we've got so many distractions. So one of the things we really try to do is just unplug at our home, try to put the phones away. We try to put the internet away. I try, when I'm on phone calls, shut everything off around me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we do it. I think we have to make a practice of getting away from being, because you find that people are increasingly connected, but increasingly lonely. They're spending more time engaging with their devices and less time with books, mm-hmm. or less time with loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to get a little time alone, have a little time every morning where I'm alone and where it's quiet and things are shut off. I also try a few times a year to spend at least half a morning just thinking, planning, looking at what I want. But it's hard, and I don't have an answer. It's something I'm trying to figure out myself.
Well, I guess there are different modalities and different ways to do it, but I like what you said about just taking a morning to be quiet, or if somebody just takes a lunch hour by themselves and sits there, isn't with their colleagues, but just quietly eating their lunch or sitting on a park bench, taking a walk, anything to just cut off the noise of the computer, the iPad, the Android, and just listen to what comes up, because it's in there.
You know, and I've had some friends, and this was before the internet, before you could access the internet on their phone, but they would go and spend a few days at a monastery.
Yes.
And they would tell me that they said the first couple of days were really difficult. And around third day, the noise in their head began to dissipate.
Yes.
And I think it's a phenomenal practice. We just have to get away from the distractions that keep us from engaging with our kids, engaging with the bigger questions of life.
Yeah, exactly. What have been the most palpable benefits to you, Adam, of working through this life planning issue and making the hard choices and continuing to relentlessly driving toward what you thought would make you happy and satisfy you? You just kept on working. You're still working. You're still making those decisions about football, about your job, et cetera, about your family. What have been the most palpable benefits to you?
Probably most palpable benefit is a confidence and an assuredness that I'm doing the right thing, because a lot of people make decisions based on just what comes to them rather than choosing to create a life. So they take the first job that they get, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as I've really worked on thinking through what I want to do and where I want to go, and I've forced myself to make some tough decisions, it's enabled me to feel better about the work I'm doing and to have a little more conviction when it gets tough. Because I feel like most people, or a lot of people, are just looking for the thing they're naturally gifted at. Mm-hmm. And they look at the Michael Jordans or the LeBron James or the Steve Jobs or the people with whom we equate wild success, and they just assume that they just woke up like that.
Right.
They just stumbled. LeBron James, for all his physical gifts, they just assume that he's that good. And so therefore he has to play basketball. Well, he's good because he loves basketball and works hard at it.
Yes.
So for me, it's given me the conviction to work harder and develop skill. And I think that's probably the most palpable benefit. I'm not questioning every day, am I doing the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking myself, how do I get better at this thing?
Well, you've talked about some books. Tell listeners other books that have been helpful to you, that have been inspirational in your journey.
You know, I can't mention any list of books without mentioning the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That for me is a touchstone.
Okay.
After that, I think the second most influential book in my life has been Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Think and Grow Rich by Carnegie. There was a book I read in the last couple of years by a guy named Scott Hunter called Unshackled Leadership, and he's got some thoughts that really build on Carnegie. The Power of Habit, it's written by a man named Charles Duhigg, I think is really powerful. And there's another one that I read as we're thinking about our children's education that I recommend people read. It's called The Talent Code. Hmm. And it's, how do we develop talent? What's the neurology of that? It's not, it just doesn't happen. There's work put into it. And so I think as people are thinking about skills, work, career, and doing something they love, some of these things need to be really examined, the development of talent. And recently, I'm not going to say it's on the all-time greats yet, but I read David and Goliath by Gladwell.
Oh.
And was really moved by the role adversity had played in so many people's lives. Those are some of the ones I highly recommend for people.
Those are great books. If you had to boil down your learnings, the teachings that have guided you, what are the two or three things or three or four things you would say to listeners, whether they're 18, heading off to college or in their early career or pre-retirement, what would you say about helping them develop, for lack of a better phrase, a vision for their life going forward?
Oof. Oh,
I know. I have to ask.
A lot of pressure on me. So, one is, I think the most important thing is to get clear on who you want to be. Not what you want to do, not what you want to have, but who you want to be. And I was told the story of a young man. He lived in Australia, and he spent his 20s following men that he wanted to learn from and be like. And he said, I'm going to build my life around the type of person I want to be. And that's hard to think about, because we raise all these questions. Well, what about responsibility and career and money?
Mm-hmm.
I find if you can ask yourself who and what you want to be, and that's something I forget to ask sometimes, but I think that's a big piece of it. And then what do I want my life to be about? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be about me? Is it going to be about causes? Is it going to be about my loved ones? Is it going to be about rich relationships? What do I want my life to be about? Is it just about a career? Is it about accruing things? So those are the two questions. And then mm-hmm. Third is, only after I believe you've answered those can you really decide to work hard and press through things. And so I told you the first 3 years of my career, I really struggled. My fourth year, I mean, I was making some money, but I didn't feel great. And the joy, I believe, comes when we press through and we develop skill and we become adept at something. I feel like a lot of people don't want to really press through and become good. They want to find that thing that's just naturally easy for them. And there's no growth without some discomfort and pain.
Right.
And so my challenge to people looking for this is, okay, get clear on where you want to go. Let's build a plan. And then you'll have the heart, the determination. People have conviction. They've got commitment. They just have to get clear on where they want to go so they can press through the comfort zone. So they can press through. A friend of mine has a card on his office that says, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And my challenge to young people is, don't be afraid to go through that.
Right.
Don't be afraid to go through the challenges, the difficulties, the struggles, because it makes the achievement that much more rewarding at the end anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said. How do you use this thing called the internet? It's just, it's everywhere. How do you use it?
I probably spend too much time reading about college football. You know, I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, staying connected to clients and former clients. I find some great articles on there. And the other way I use it is I love to cook. We're preparing a ham for Christmas. And so I spend a lot of time looking up recipes online. Those are the primary ways I use it.
What's happening in the next few years in your life?
Well, my wife and I, we've got two kids. We want to continue to grow the family. That'll be important. We want to see the business grow. We want to see our clients thrive. I really personally want to invest in some relationships. My children, I want to spend more time with. My wife, some good friends that we live near. The biggest things for me, and I want to make some key investments financially and in business, but the biggest thing for me over the next few years, what I'm going to measure the success of these years on is, did I continue to grow personally? Did I grow in these relationships? And that's really going to be the measure for me of, were these years successful?
Exactly. So what are you proudest of?
Oh, gosh. You know, the first thing that comes to mind, and I've not given this a ton of thought, but I'm really proud of my family. I've got a phenomenal wife. I thank God every day that she's in my life. I mean, she's just a phenomenal mom. She's a phenomenal wife. She's a phenomenal person. I am really blessed to have a great marriage. I've got two great kids. They're knuckleheads. And, you know, regardless of what I do with work, I do it because I just love them so much. I enjoy the work. I also enjoy the freedom and the benefits of it. I'm really proud of our little family.
Yes. So. Adam Boyd, what a great pleasure being with you today.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you for sharing the highlights of your life journey. And I know that our listeners around the world have learned lessons that will help them on theirs. So how do those listeners connect with you if you'd like them to?
They can connect with me on LinkedIn. They can also email me, adam.boyd@sandler.com. So adam.boyd@sandler, sandler.com. And if any of them are interested, the book should be out on amazon.com. The listeners can find it there. It's story after story that deals with people breaking through their own challenges, breaking through their own barriers, their own hangups, their own comfort zones. And our hope is that it gives people tools and the inspiration to press through some of their own challenges.
Excellent. Excellent. We look forward to that very much. You listeners know that you can go to discovertalentpodcast.com, look up Adam's name and find the summary of this fine interview as well as these links. So it's a quick, direct route. I want to thank you listeners as always every day for tuning in around the world. You know, we have an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 proven career building strategies to help you do what you love. Adam has shared some of those strategies today as he graciously shared some of his life story. So take advantage of that. We've had great feedback. It's free and it could be a resource to kickstart your career. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love for you to be a part of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you better. In closing, Every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.